This program contains strong language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Welcome to Parenting. It's a podcast about kids that kids shouldn't listen to.
Welcome back to another episode of Parenting.
Number 20.
The big 2-0.
Look at us like doing this 2 weeks in a row. I'm so proud of us.
I know. It's like double digits too.
Yeah. Okay, fair warning. We're just both in a weird mood today, so I'm just giving you a heads up already.
Got a bit of a case of the giggles. But I'm Mark Adam. I'm all the way in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yes, and I am KTG in the Halifax of Nova Scotia.
Yes. So
more pacifically, Tantallon.
More pacifically?
More pacifically.
I think you're more Atlantically.
Okay, touche. Touche.
It's very much on the Atlantic coast. That said, it's kind of nice that because we get different perspectives. You live in Nova Scotia. You're in the Atlantic bubble. I'm way over here in the currently having a crazy spike in COVID cases, Manitoba. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of venues that are shutting their doors again. Not full lockdown mode like it was back in, you know, March and April and all that, but we are very, very at risk here at the moment, the way that things are going for Manitobans. So things in the Atlantic bubble, how are they there?
Everything's still going pretty good, actually. I was looking, I think it was over the weekend, I was having a look to see kind of like what the numbers were looking like, and Nova Scotia in particular is pretty chill. I think we've got like 4 total active cases, all due to travel. So we're pretty chill. New Brunswick's having a bit of a rough go. Their numbers have spiked and they're actually in the Atlantic bubble. So
that is problematic.
Yeah. So I feel for our New Brunswick family right now. I think the outbreak or whatever you want to call it kind of happened in the Moncton area. So they don't live in Moncton, but I mean, it's close enough. So
where, our cousin Katie, you're my cousin Katie. Never mind. Sorry, it's
you're doing great. Keep going.
Wow. Okay. All right. Let's try that again.
Oh
okay.
Go ahead. You're doing great. This is great.
Our cousin Jacqueline
lives in
New Brunswick right now. Do you know if there's spikes in her area at all?
I don't know specifically. No, I think the only thing I heard was just in Moncton where it kind of started, and then their numbers have kind of gone up since then.
And Moncton is a hub city too. Like it's basically the hub of the Atlantic bubble. Sort of all roads, no matter where you're driving, sort of have to go through Moncton if you're crossing provinces. I mean, there's not always, but. But it is a big hub city, and that's probably a contributing factor to the spikes, where somebody travels in there a lot more often than they'll travel to, say, Fredericton or St. John, New Brunswick. And so the likelihood of that being – Halifax, too, is a big hub, but I think less so for travel amongst – the Atlantic provinces.
I mean, there's still people that are kind of like coming in and out, but I think that here where no matter where you go, any establishment, you have to wear a mask, that we've kept the numbers pretty low. So I don't know. I feel for everyone who's still, you know, struggling. All these like numbers are spiking again. So it's kind of scary. So I'm just happy to stay here and stay home. And I'm actually going into work in a couple of weeks for the first time since March. Like we're kind of starting like a rotating shift of some of our people. So I'm kind of, I'm looking forward to it, I think, more so than, you know, just trying to get away. I think like anyone would probably feel the same, just to get out of their house and, you know, new scenery and actually see people. would be kind of nice.
Yeah, I get it. I'm a people person. Like I'm not an introvert. My batteries get recharged by other human beings, right? Like I'm very extroverted that way. And there are some people who are introverts who do also sometimes need that social interaction. And, you know, during the major lockdown back in, like I said, in March and April and whatnot, it was rough. It was rough. I know it was, I'm speaking for me, but yeah. I know a lot of other people were having such a hard time with that. And I struggled hard because I'm very much a people person, and not being able to see what is kind of going on, you know, like you don't think about it, but like keeping up with the news of your friends and how they're doing and stuff is much easier when you can actually physically see them. Like it's one thing to be on social media, which is more like anti-social media, but, but it's a completely different thing when you never see another human face other than through a video screen. It's not the same human interaction. And this might be the new normal for a long time going forward. Like, for instance, when we had the lockdown, our cases spiked at 2,760. That was May 3rd. That was where they peaked. And right now we're at 4,042. So this is reported cases.
Wait, active or reported?
New cases. If I go, can I go...
Wow.
I guess I can't go more specific.
Welcome back to the depressing podcast where we give you all of the depressing news of all of this craziness. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good. We just got to get that out of the way. Like, it's still happening. It's still very real. It's still going on. We're still all going through it. And we're just in different. It's crazy how, like, across the country, well, you've just here, just in Canada, how different provinces are in completely different situations. So like, I feel very lucky and fortunate to be in Nova Scotia right now.
Well, yeah, 5 total cases over the last 14 days, 5 new cases over the last 14 days. New Brunswick, as you mentioned, 78 cases.
Jeez,
that's absolute insanity for new cases. That's a lot. Quebec, 14,000 new cases over the last 14 days.
Wow.
And then Winnipeg, or Manitoba, I should say, 736 cases in the last 14 days, which is quite a spike for us, where during the initial lockdown, Manitoba was amongst the best. Like, we had very, very few cases. So the second wave is hitting us much harder than the first wave, and I think it's a lot because people have this false sense of security.
I was just going to say, it's more of like they feel like, oh, it's kind of going away and like we're good now. And
we're just tired of being locked in our rooms. Like, it's
fair,
just,
and that's also fair.
That attitude is a little more selfish. But and I get that the urge to like just go outside and see other humans. I get it. I just spoke to it, but it's really important. I think that we all sort of manage our expectations for the next couple of months, that if we don't go back to that level of caution and safety that we had back in March and April, then we are going to really give ourselves a hard time, and we could cause yet another full-blown absolute lockdown.
I
don't know, is it the Atlantic bubble is like has its a full system, or is like Nova Scotia have its sort of system?
Like, and like you're allowed, like as far as I know and that I'm aware, and because I it may be like a stupid thing or an ignorant thing, but like I really try and stay away from the news as much as I can a lot of the time, because I find it's just so negative and depressing. I try and stay up with kind of what's going on, but like I don't really dive into it and sit and watch it for like an hour because I just emotionally can't. like here, I mean, I think, and I mean, people can correct me if I'm wrong, which I more than likely am, but I think that out of the Atlantic bubble, Nova Scotia are the only ones that have masks that are mandatory. Because that's just, it was just a provincial, decision. So I know that there was like the Atlantic bubble as a thing, but all of our rules are a little bit different, you know? So I think that maybe that's why, especially in like New Brunswick, I think if they were wearing masks and if they were mandatory, that they would have, they'd probably be in the same situation we are. We'd have very low numbers. But I mean, I don't really know exactly what happened. And so to cause it to spike like that. But anyway, I know that all the provinces are kind of doing their own kind of thing, but I think that Nova Scotia is the one that's having like the masks that are mandatory. It's possible like maybe like PEI is the same, but I'm not sure about like Newfoundland, or obviously New Brunswick isn't, but anyway. I'm just staying here. I'm not going anywhere. There was like so many people like traveling and stuff this summer. Like, and I get it. Like, I understand that, you know, people want a change of scenery and, you know, and a lot of people have done it safely, traveling like to PEI for the summer or like to New Brunswick to see family and all that. I totally get that. But I just personally do not feel comfortable traveling at all outside of the province.
No, and, so and you shouldn't. That's the smart thing to do, is stay the F home, right?
Yeah.
Stay the frig home.
Stay the blazes home.
Stay the blazes home. But here in here in Manitoba, Manitoba has we have a system called the pandemic response system. Hashtag restart MB is like the this giant sort of thing that the government has built. So if you go to the government of Manitoba's website, they have like all the information on new cases, on how many active cases are going on right now. The number of people who've been tested, the average number of daily tests, which is over 2,000 people a day they're testing, the test positivity rate, which is 3.5% of the population, or 3.5% of people who are tested are actually positive for COVID-19. They have a four-tier system here. And I know a lot of Manitobans don't really know what all that means even, but it's got they've sort of separated it on colors. So you got green, which is low risk, yellow, which is called caution, the caution level, orange is restricted, which is most of the province right now is on caution, but in Winnipeg specifically, Winnipeg has been raised to restricted, which basically means stay home when sick, practice social distancing, wear a mask indoor settings, which is mandatory now as well. What else? Traveling to and from is restricted. All that kind of thing. So and then groups have to be limited to 10 indoors. I can't remember what the outdoor numbers are, but all that stuff. And then the level above that, which there are a couple of instances of internally, is critical. That's the red level, and that's the bad level. And there's a bunch of long-term care homes.
Oh, God, yeah.
That are specifically on critical, meaning that those specific properties have to be managed differently than the rest of Winnipeg, and Winnipeg has to manage itself differently than the rest of the province. And I think, given the situation, the information that the government is putting out, you know, it's always hard to find nice things to say about the government, like almost always. It doesn't matter where you live.
Yep.
Everybody's just going to complain about the government. But honestly, I think in a lot of ways, they've done a lot of really good work here. There's quite a bit of room for improvement if you ask around in Manitoba. I think you'll find that there's a lot of people who are resistant to some of the ways that the government has chose to deal with it. But overall...
Yeah, but I mean, I think that they're all it's at the beginning, it was trial and error. They really just had to lock everything down until they could figure it out. But now it's once we've learned, it shouldn't be that hard for people to comprehend, at least. I'm not saying it's easy to implement any sort of mass rules. It's very difficult to do that. However, it shouldn't be that difficult to comprehend as just human beings how serious it is, right? And then when you say the long-term care facilities, here in Nova Scotia, that is where we were hit hard. There was one in particular down on Gottigen Street, Northwood, and they got hit really, really hard. And it was very devastating. And, you know, if you feel awful because you know, those people are, you know, they've got people that still need to come in and care for them. And so like the restrictions on those type of facilities makes so much sense. And then, you know, you just feel terrible because, you know, people who would go and visit their family members who live in those type of facilities couldn't for a very long time, but it was for their safety, obviously. But mm-hmm. it just, anyway, those, it's very, those facilities are very prone, I guess, to that exposure. So
absolutely. And I will point out too that every single one of the restricted properties is a care home. Beacon Hill Lodge, long-term care home, Calvary Place, person care home, Heritage Lodge, personal care home, Parkview Place, long-term care home, St. Amant, health and transition services, which is not a care home. It's like a St. Amant, I believe, is like a health or like a halfway house kind of deal.
But still, it's like the same idea, right? Like if there's a lot of people living in a very close proximity. So
exactly.
I get
But it totally sucks. But that's just, this is the new normal for us, is checking this website every day and going, am I allowed to leave the house because I need groceries? You know, how masked up and covered do I need to be outside to get the food that my family needs to eat?
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people when I go to the grocery store that are just absolutely not following the rules. Most grocery stores have the lanes, you know, you go this way, up this way, down this way, da, da, da. And a lot of people are just willy-nilly wandering around. And
I know. And I've seen that. I think I mentioned that last week too. It was just like, you know, people going backwards down the aisles. I mean, that stuff kind of makes me laugh a little bit, but you're right. There's a lot of, there's always those people who are going to be just like, they're just selfish and just do whatever they want anyway. But actually on the top, just kind of on the topic slash off the topic, if I can actually speak English.
Words are hard.
They really are. Because of all of the craziness in our lives, but for obviously we had Thanksgiving over the weekend.
Yes. And
so
turkey gobble
shopping,
gobble.
Shopping for that, and also like family dinners. Like that's such a huge thing, and a lot of those family dinners includes, you know, like grandparents and all of those things, especially in my household. So, did you guys have like a family dinner, or was it just the four of you, or
it was
what was that?
So Amelia in midday went to her mother's. Because I'm co-parenting with her mom, the deal is I get her on Halloween and her mom gets her on Thanksgiving. So she went to her mom's in the middle of the day on Thanksgiving to go to their thing. Their immediate family, her mother, my daughter's mother, baby mama, I guess, she has five sisters and a brother. So there's seven kids in that family altogether.
Yeah.
And then the oldest daughter in the family, she has two kids and I think another one on the way. And then there's my daughter's mom, who also has another baby on the way. And then, but then there's all the kids. And so just their immediate family is a big group.
That is a huge group.
They've been doing a lot to just sort of stay amongst themselves. And they had their Thanksgiving. And then it was myself and Katie and Katie's daughter, Jamie. And then we had Katie's father and her father's cousin come over. And then two friends of mine. That was it. And my two friends, they had to self-isolate for a long time and they're just in town. They're not permanent residents here. They were in Medicine Hat and they've been back for a couple of weeks and they're going back in a couple of weeks, so that they're, you know, a bit of a month trip, but they didn't have any plans for the Monday, so they came over and had Thanksgiving dinner with us. So
that's nice.
It was kind of nice. And knowing, because she's a nurse, so knowing that she's been off work and self-isolating and da-da-da, we were comfortable having them over. And that's why we made that decision.
That is the hard part, right? Like, you really need to make, like, it's all very much of a, as much as you need to be smart in general, like, for the general population, but, like, in your own household, like, you know, as long as you know where all of your family members have been, like no one has any symptoms, you feel like pretty safe. Cause like we all have, like we had, like Rod's parents were over. We also celebrated, his dad turned 80 last week, which is crazy. Yeah. Big birthday. So, you know, you want to be extra careful, you know, when you're, I wouldn't say elderly cause that would be rude, but older people who are more susceptible and, you know, to,
that's the literal definition of elderly.
I know, but if you ever met his father, you would never think of him. I would never look at him and be like, you're elderly. Like, he's just so young. He's a young 80. So anyway.
Oh, it's good for him.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the oldest 80-year-old you ever meet in your life.
Yeah, I already feel old now and I'm 33. I almost forgot
how old I was. You had to think of that. Jesus.
Oh, God. This is what I mean. I'm like losing it. I'm losing it. Anyway.
Katie, get your shit together.
No, not anytime soon. Sorry. But we had a full house. Like it was Rod and I and the kids and his mother and father and then her sister and her husband. So we had, you know, a full house-ish for dinner, which was lovely. And then on the Saturday and then Sunday, I went up to my mom's. And so it was just my mom, my sister and I, my grandmother, and then my stepfather. So we had dinner up there. So I had way too much food in 2 days.
Well, that's the best part about Thanksgiving and kind of it the reason is. I love Thanksgiving is the food, the people,
copious
yes.
Leftovers.
I love that I get to see people I don't normally see, but this year, obviously 2020 is a nightmare, but, I love the food and Katie, my girlfriend, Katie, not you, Katie, is a professional chef. That's what she does for a living. And she made the turkey dinner and it was so good. She literally brined the turkey for like 3 days.
Oh my God.
It was
so funny that you also, like Rod used to be a chef like for like 15 years. That's so funny that we both have like people who cook.
Yeah. Well, hey,
is that like our trait of our family? Like we're like, I don't cook. So,
hey, I don't not cook, but I definitely don't cook on Katie's level. It's not an apples to apples comparison by any stretch of anyone's imagination.
No, I cook. I always made the joke that like I literally would cook to survive because I have to eat food in order to live. And that is what I would cook for. I never cooked to be experimental or like to be adventurous. It was like, I need sustenance in my body to live. Other than that, that's it. So it's got like kind of the deal. Like Rod does the cooking and I do the cleaning.
Basically. I can cook to a point. You know, I worked in the restaurant industry for years and years. I've picked up a lot of tips and tricks and cool things I can do. And
I did not.
And it's not something that I outright enjoy is cooking. Mm-hmm. That's not my thing. And so where it is absolutely Katie's thing and she loves it. And she wanted to have a dinner here because she wanted to cook it. Like it wasn't like a burden for her to cook. It was her idea. And she wanted to do it so she could cook the turkey. Like it wasn't.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, like it's for like, me,
I don't have that enjoyment.
We're coming here. I don't. Do I have to make the turkey? Can I just order Swiss Chalet? So.
Does everyone like McDonald's?
Yeah. I fancied it up with Swiss Chalet. Come on.
Yeah, no, I went with what I would go with.
I know. I almost said KFC, but I was like, no, take it up like half a notch.
Oh, but yeah, no. I mean, that would have been, that's also an option.
The dirty bird. All right. Anyway, so.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, but it's a thing. I don't have that. I don't have the desire. I don't like grocery shopping and I don't enjoy cooking. They're things that are an annoyance to me. I don't enjoy doing it. I do it because I have to. And that's all it is.
I don't mind the grocery shopping part. I don't like the pressure of going by myself as much because I know I'm going to get the wrong fucking thing and get yelled at. not that Katie's going to yell at me. It's just like, I just have this anxiety about it when I go to the grocery store and I'm like, what if I don't get the right one? And what if there's two and they look so similar and one's a better deal, so I get that one and it's not the one that we're supposed to have? I don't know. I get weird about the grocery shopping thing, but it doesn't bother me as long as I have a support there, you know?
Yeah. Well, and see, I really dislike the grocery shopping. Well, what I have learned, and most recently actually, is I cannot take the children with me, either one of them, when I go grocery shopping. Not because they misbehave, but because they want to buy everything. Like, oh. They're like, oh, can we try this? Oh, this looks so good. I'm like, they distract me while I go in with a purpose and a list, and that is what I get, and I get the hell out. I don't peruse and like whatever, unless I'm in like a particularly good mood that day and want to look at what's on sale. Other than that, I just want to get in and get the hell out. But recently, like in the last couple of weeks, I went with Jillian and I just was grabbing something and she's like, oh, this looks so good or whatever. And oh, this looks really, we should try this. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, fine, whatever, just throw it in. And I'm like, yeah, just hurry up, just throw it in. Like, it's fine. Okay, well, maybe we'll try it, whatever. And then it like doubles my grocery bill. I'm like, okay, you know what? You're not allowed to come with me anymore. First of all, you're a bad influence. Second, apparently I can't say no. So we're a bad combo.
Yeah.
We are not going grocery shopping together.
And that's, your girls are quite a bit older than my girls. When we go with the kids, you know, we're 6 and 8 years old, but we still get the, can we get this? Can we get that? Mm-hmm. Oh, I want that. Can we get that? And it's not so much distracting as it is annoying because you're just like, no, 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 no. If you ask for one more thing, you can go sit in the car.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I will risk child services coming to get me because you're being an asshole.
Officer, listen, she was being really annoying. So
in my defense, she was kind of being a cunt. It's like, sir, she's 6 years old. I was like, I know, right? She's very advanced.
That's so fucked up. But 100%. Like you're kind of being a bitch. So
yeah. I would never actually do that. But like
the impulse has
crossed me. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I've actually even. Well, when Rod and I had gone, I think this was years ago, probably when they were, you know, probably around that age, like 8 o'clock, whatever. But it was, you know, one of them's acting up. So then one of us had to take that kid out to the car until the other one finished the shopping. And then it's like, to me, it's so infuriating. Like that just is, I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but it almost, because to me, I go in, I've got like a plan, I've got a list and I want to do this and get out. Like, I don't want to, you know, take forever doing something. And then when, you know, you got a kid that acts up and you have to like, if you're all out together, then you have to like split up. And then I'm like, now I have to try and do this all by myself. And then like, it's just so, I mean, maybe I'm just whiny, which I probably am, but like, I get so frustrated. And then I've actually myself have gotten so irritated with other people in stores/grocery stores, like people either being rude or whatever, pre-COVID stuff, that I've actually left a cart of groceries in the middle of an aisle and left because I was so anxiety ridden and frustrated that I just left.
That's hilarious.
I have done that on a few occasions and I felt bad afterwards because I'm like, oh man, because some poor person has to go and take that cart and be like, what the hell is this doing here? And then have to put all my stuff back. And I felt terrible. And then I felt anxious about that. But anyway, me and shopping just don't get along. It's the moral of the story. Any sort of shopping. So adding kids into the mix is just a disaster.
Adding kids to anything that was already stressful amplifies it by 10. Like, it isn't like,
yeah,
it's okay. So what I found, I had one daughter. Okay. And everything was at least twice as hard to do. Like going to the grocery store took twice as much time and effort.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, going out to eat at a restaurant was twice as cumbersome, and you had to plan twice as much. And now I have the two daughters because I have my stepdaughter Jamie now. And I find that it isn't twice as hard and then twice as hard again. It's like they compound. It's exponential. It's like all of a sudden it's 8 times as hard. How did that happen? Mm-hmm. We only added one extra child.
One person.
how did this go from 2 times as hard to 8 times as hard? I don't, what just happened?
Well, and like with us, like with the girls too, I totally understand what you mean. It's like you have one and there's kind of like those, you know, little hiccups and things that kind of, you know, slow things down or whatever. And then when you have somewhat like, especially a sibling in the mix, they just pick at each other for no reason other than to just be an asshole. So it makes, that's why I think it just makes it exponentially more hard when you have multiples of them, because you either get them fighting with each other, or they're just, I don't know, that I don't know what it is, but like they just inherently want to just fucking piss each other off for no reason. I have no idea why. I mean, I don't know. Rod and I have talked about this before, like him and his brothers, they just punch each other. That's it. Girls are just so much more like,
A guy will punch you in the face and it will be over. A girl, when she's upset, will ruin your life. She will.
Okay.
She will find.
So dramatic.
Well, I'm just saying, like, but that's how girls think, or that's been my experience of how girls think. And you're plotting my demise right now because I'm saying this, but. But like my experience of like how boys fight is like punch punch. Hey, stop that. Okay. And then it's over. Whereas girls, when they fight, it's like the way that they get back at each other is subtle and like methodical and bordering on sociopathic. It's...
I mean, it depends on the situation, because there's been times like where, like, you know, when they were really young, it would be more of a... There have been, you know, fists thrown between the girls, and mostly like Jill, she would be the one that would outwardly, you know, just smack Allie or something like that. And, you know, that definitely happens. There's no question. It's just the two of them, like, even now they pick at each other, but it's more of like, oh, are you going to wear that? Like, it's like, yeah, why? And I'm like, first of all, why does it matter? Like, why do you care?
And here's the thing. Oh, some kid looking at me going like, you're going to wear that? Hurts way more than just getting punched in the face. And I don't know why that is.
Okay, you know,
probably
what?
Because I'm a guy and I'm not equipped to deal with that kind of bullshit. Like, I'm just, it just comes out of left field for me. It's like, what's wrong with my shirt? It's like,
yeah, well,
nothing. Don't worry about
no,
it.
No, you
like,
look
you're trying
great.
To ruin my life. Like, you're not, just hit me and be over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because I actually, this isn't, I know we're doing like top tweets. Like we're going to actually bring that back at the end of the
yes.
podcast, but there was, just because you said that there was a tweet that I found a couple of days ago and I had to screenshot it because it just rang true. Exactly what you just said. It's like, because they can say things that are just fucking devastating. And you're like, God, that hurt me in the soul. Like, and so this, I wish I didn't open it. I can't see what his actual, at thing is, but I'll find it later and I'll put it up. But it says, advice for kids: if you can't say anything nice, say something clever but devastating.
And that's
like, yes, that, exactly
that, yeah, but more and or less
I don't know if they have that thought process. I think they just, it just happens. They just, that's what they do. Not like they're not, I don't know if they're sitting there thinking of something horrible they could say to make you feel terrible about yourself. They just, they're so, you know, filterless when they're young. Yeah, and they think about it.
And but they'll say things and not it, like it doesn't affect them at all because they're just asking questions. But to you,
yeah.
That ruined your day.
Yeah,
for example,
exactly.
For example, at
why
the,
I drink.
At the time, Amelia was 4 years old. We were walking by a Remembrance Day memorial service at one of the war memorials. And Amelia said, what are they doing? And I was explaining that they were remembering the soldiers who fought and died in this war, like all these wars over time, and you know, in particular, like this war memorial is from this battle from World War II, and blah blah blah. And she looks at me and goes, "Was that back when you were a kid?" And of course, like to her, that was like a legit question, and
100%.
to me, that rocked my soul. I don't know why. But like, kids
do
are just
I look
like that.
Old, like what?
Because she doesn't
have
concept
get it. Of time. They don't. Yeah. They don't have that concept of like how long ago that was. So it's
yeah.
That's fucking funny.
Well, last night I was getting Jamie ready for bed, and I was like, "I'll be back in. You have 3 minutes because your bedtime's in 3 minutes." So I come back. I got distracted. I'm very easily distracted. but I came back in 10 minutes, and she was like, is the 3 minutes up already? I'm like, actually, it's been 3 minutes three times so far. I was just late. And she goes, oh, I don't know how long 3 minutes is. And I was like, that makes sense.
That's fair.
You're
that's
eight.
Fair.
Yeah.
Touche. That's exactly it. It's so funny because they will come out and say things like that. And you're just not ready for it. Because I just sometimes can't comprehend how like their brains work sometimes, and like they'll just say things that just make us drink. And that's just my personal situation. You sit at the end of the day, the kids have gone to bed. You're like, I'm going to have a beverage.
Yep. Katie and I have started to make our own special cookies.
Special cookies.
Yes. So every night when we put the kids to bed, mm-hmm. we just relax mm-hmm. on the couch. And that's once we've made sure that they are out, like, because they both sleep really well. But once we make sure they're out there, we just hang out.
And yeah. Just chill. So I mean, that's just your version of a drink, right? If you prefer.
And let me tell you, I have discovered it to be much cheaper than getting as drunk as I would like. the booze.
It takes much more alcohol to forget things.
Yeah. Like I just like to get to that level of fuck it. Like you just, yes, it requires a lot more dollar value if you're doing it via booze than if you're doing it via special cookies.
Fair enough. I mean, I wouldn't have, I have no experience in that, but I will take your word for it. My only experience is booze.
Trust me. Trust me. Just trust me.
I trust you. Sort of.
Anyway. so the, yeah, kids are just rude is basically the summary of that last section there.
I think that's the summary of every single episode we do. Kids are dicks. Is that just like, that's pretty much the running theme here. I think you're all aware of that now if you're listening.
I think
it's kind of what we're saying. They're also adorable and hilarious and, you know, all of those things too, but mostly they're just dicks.
Yeah. That's, I would say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Speaking of kids being dicks, Halloween. yeah. It's coming up and mm-hmm.
I was looking it up before we started this. Is it like, cause I don't think they've said that Halloween's not happening here in Nova Scotia. Like I think they haven't said, no, it's not happening, but I don't know if that's true or not.
I would have to think that common sense would win here and people would just decide, okay, 2020 is a write-off. Let's try again in 2021. So
exactly.
I think the safest, I mean, especially now as here in Manitoba with the spikes in cases and stuff, I think it's irresponsible and I'm going to even say possibly straight up bad parenting to take your kids trick-or-treating this year. I think, and I know that's a devastating thing to hear to a lot of parents who live for Halloween. Katie, mm-hmm. my girlfriend, she loves Halloween. She's more excited about Halloween than Christmas every year.
Yeah, I love Halloween as well, for sure.
Yeah, and which is, you know, and so I totally get that it sucks that we have a world where trick-or-treating, the reality of it is we shouldn't at all.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the
thoughts on, I know that I've heard some people say it, well, just mostly here because it's, our numbers are pretty low, but there were a few people I heard that said that they're just going to take their kids to people like they know, like their family members or neighbors they know really well and know kind of that they're safe, I guess, if you want to call it that. But I know that there's been talk of that. I looked it up literally before we were starting this because I didn't know if it was, no, you can't, we're not doing Halloween or whatever this year, but I was like, should I have stuff ready for our neighbors' kids? Like, I don't, like, I agree with you. It's probably, especially places where the numbers are ridiculously high, like, absolutely not. But here, it's kind of like a question mark.
Well, and I get that, but at the same time, the way you should think about it is, do you want to take responsibility?
Never.
Because you're handing out candy to children who are going to take that candy home. It's probably not going to get washed right. Even if you try and sanitize candy bar wrappers, they're the way that they're folded half the time, like it's, you're not going to properly sanitize the whole mm-hmm. thing. And people can say that they, oh, well, I'll sanitize all my candy if it makes the kids can be happy. Well, good for you. That's one house out of 12. Like,
yeah, no, I know it. That's what I'm saying. It's not going to be a normal Halloween. Absolutely.
And it shouldn't be. And why don't, and there's been the idea that we're going to do here, and I can say this because the kids don't listen to this podcast. they're not allowed. So what we're doing here, or my plan, is to run it like Easter, where we hide.
Like a scavenger hunt, right?
Yeah, we hide candy all over the house.
That's a really great idea.
And the kids can go and find it, and mm-hmm. that's, I think the kids will have just as much fun, if not more fun, doing that than getting dressed up and going out in the neighborhood. We can still get them dressed up and take photos,
totally.
And they can do their Halloween hunt in their costumes and whatever. I still think that that's a thing we can do, and I think that's important for the enjoyment of it for kids and all that. Is the fun for them is getting dressed up and candy. Honestly, totally. At the end of the day, the kids don't give a flying fuck where the candy comes from. So the point is, if you're taking your kid trick-or-treating because fuck the government and they can't tell us what to do, that's a you problem, and your kid very likely doesn't give a shit.
No, of course not. But at the same time, it's like you can't, just because you have decided that you're not canceling Halloween in your household if you think that way, that doesn't mean that you're going to go knocking door to door and people are going to be happy about it if they are like, why are you on my doorstep asking for candy right now? Like, I would be very infuriated by someone. But I was thinking the exact same thing because I used to do almost every Easter. There's probably like 3 or 4 Easters in a row that I did a whole scavenger hunt for the kids. I made a map. I hid stuff, not just in the house, but outside, like in our neighborhood kind of thing. And they would have to, you know, decode things in order to find the clue to the next thing. And then they get like a little treat, and then they would go to like another clue to another thing. And like, it, first of all, it takes a hell of a long time as a parent to do that. So if you are going to do it, it doesn't just take you 5 minutes of just hiding things and writing a note, because trust me, it's hours of or days of work doing it. But you better make it difficult, because nothing is more infuriating than doing a scavenger hunt for your kids and they finish it in like 5 fucking minutes. I was so angry the first time that I did it because I didn't want to make the clues too hard. And I was like, oh, this will be fun. They'll like, you know, get an hour of enjoyment out of this. And literally in 10 minutes, they were done. I was so fucking mad.
That's a lot of effort to put in for 10 minutes worth of enjoyment.
I literally made a map and I like burnt the edges and teabagged it and crinkled it to make it look old and all of this thing in 10 minutes.
I think teabagging is not a term you want to use in this context. I was doing a thing for the kids and I teabagged it. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. My bad for saying. You know what I fucking mean. Use teabags to discolor the paper. But yes, teabagging,
yes.
My bad. I shouldn't use that phrase.
You tea-stained the paper.
I tea-stained the paper for 10 minutes of fucking searching, and I was infuriated. And I was like, and the girls were like, yay, I can't wait for next year. And I'm like, oh, why did I set a bad precedent.
But the next year it was awesome, wasn't it?
It was better. It was better. I got better because I'm like, no, fuck you guys. You're not doing this in 10 minutes. I will make it worth. You're going to be frustrated. Good. Trying to figure these out. But anyway,
I love the idea of frustrating our children on purpose. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I'm going to pitch that instead of just a straight up like an Easter egg hunt style thing. I think the scavenger hunt for Halloween makes a lot of sense. And
it's
our neighborhood.
So fun.
Our neighborhood, when the sun goes down, is an actual scary place. So it's, yeah.
Amazing.
Go find this and don't get Winnipeg handshaked. That means stabbed for those of you in the East Coast.
Okay, I was like, I don't
know
what
stabbed.
That means.
A Winnipeg handshake is literally a stabbing because it happens here a lot.
That's fucked up.
It's an unfortunate thing that Winnipeg is famous for.
That's very unfortunate. But I mean, I do, on a positive note, think that doing a scavenger hunt rather than going door to door, even to people that you know, like if you're going to do that, that's fine. Like if you have like your parents live close by or grandparents are very close by and they do up like a little treat bag for the kids, whatever, you go there, pick it up. That's great. I think that's great. But it's just, you know, for just everyone's safety, like if you can just do something like that, it's so... I'd say it's not easy. Like I said, it's very like time consuming, but it's something you can do within your own household. So if you're able to do that, it's so fun. Like the kids had a blast doing it. So just make it difficult and frustrate them, because otherwise they do it in 10 minutes and make you want to cry.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Frustrate the children before they have a chance to frustrate you. I get
it. Seriously. Keep them occupied for at least an hour after all that work.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I'm going to pitch that at Katie and see what she thinks, because I think the scavenger hunt would be a way better way to do it. And our kids, while they do stuff where you're like, are they going to be okay in life? But at the same time, they're very smart.
Yes.
And they pick up on stuff and say stuff all the time that I'm like, how do you know about that?
You'd be really surprised how like quickly they will figure stuff out. This is why I'm saying make it, when you're saying, oh, I think that might be too difficult, make it a little bit more difficult. I swear.
Yeah.
That's my only advice, because they will easily figure that shit out, and it would be, anyway, yes. It's so worth it though. They really have, they loved it, and they're like really sad that I like haven't done it in the last like 2 years. But for the last 2 years, they were at their mom's for Easter, because we don't like switch holidays like that. The only one we switch holidays for is Christmas. So if they were with us last Christmas, then they're with their mom for Christmas. And then, so that's the only one we really kind of rotate. Otherwise, it's just whoever's week it falls on. So.
Okay. Yeah. See, and with me and Amelia's mother, it's, we trade off. We have certain things. Like I get her on Halloween every year, because her mother and her mother's family kind of don't care about the Halloween thing.
Okay.
But they get her for Thanksgiving, because they have the big family here, and I'm happy to let Amelia have that big family dinner experience, mm-hmm. which I kind of can't give her, because it's just me here. This year's different. I'm with Katie now, but for the last 4 years of me being very, very single, it's it's just been me and her, right?
Very single. Yes.
I did put a little tang on that. I'm sorry.
You did. That was pretty good. I liked it. It's good.
but it was just me and her. And so mm-hmm. she's, you know, she doesn't really get that big family experience when she has dinners with me. But so that I'm more than happy to let her have that big family fun time with her mom's family. Like that makes the most sense to me.
Of course.
Especially since they're already sort of like making sure that they're all isolating themselves, but together. So mm-hmm. yes, they're three separate households, four separate households, but they only really visit each other. They don't have play dates with other kids, you know?
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, exactly.
So
well, as long as they're being safe, then you feel safe.
And I very much do. I very much do. And I'm very, very lucky too. A lot of people don't get, like, can't make it work with their ex. Like, it's a fight every minute of the day. And I'm mm-hmm. very fortunate to be in a position where, you know, I trust her mother and her mother's judgment, like, 95% of the time, which mm-hmm. is as good as you're going to get for an ex, I think. And then
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes things aren't really a problem, but they just bug me, you know. So
of course,
I'm including that in the 5%. Like it's not really a problem, but I know she's doing it to just sort of make a point.
100%.
And I know that she recognizes, like, I live 500 miles from where I'm from mm-hmm. with no one. Like mm-hmm. I'm here for Amelia, and I'm here for the only reason I'm here is for Amelia. Really,
yeah.
When you think about it, now I have more family because I have Katie and Jamie as well, but for the last, you know, basically half decade, it's been just me and Amelia.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, exactly.
And so,
but it's so nice that you actually have that good relationship with her, to have that open communication, because that's the same here. Like it could have been really bad. And a lot of, you know, for a lot of other people who are in similar situations, it's not good, or it's, you know, they only get to see their kid every 2 weeks or something on the weekend, or like whatever. Like it could be so much worse. So like you really, you know, you feel grateful when you hear, like, you know, those unfortunate situations. You're like, wow, I've got it really good actually.
Exactly.
Considering.
And it was Thanksgiving this weekend, and that's, you know, we should always be looking for what we're thankful for. But this weekend in particular puts a giant emphasis on, like, what am I thankful for? And that is absolutely mm-hmm. right up at the top of the list, is the fact that while we don't get along as human beings one-on-one, we do both get along when it comes to what we want for Amelia, which is mm-hmm. a good education. We want her to be safe. We want her to be healthy. We want her to be happy. And we are able to work together to make that happen. And now that Katie's here, she has other ideas and does things that I never used to. So there's a whole other reason for Amelia to have fun and enjoy being here, and she has a built-in friend. Like, they were really good friends before Katie and I started dating, so it's I'm in a really good spot, and speaking on the Thanksgiving side of things, I'm really thankful for having Katie and Jamie in my life now, you know, and for having them in Amelia's life, and for Amelia's mother being easy to work with when it comes to holidays and trading off and schedule conflicts kind of get frustrating sometimes. And I get that because right now, like, I'm working from home and I have full availability, but that wasn't always the case. And it was a struggle and da, da, da. But, you know, at the end of the day, you make it work for your kids. And I'm super happy that the person on the other side of that argument also wants to make it work for the child and isn't fighting me out of spite or some sense of like, oh, our relationship was poor, so now I'm going to treat you like a bag of shit kind of thing. So I'm lucky there.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate, but in a lot of situations, like, they don't make the child the priority and they want to say that they do, but by their actions and how they, you know, are being, you know, nitpicky and being spiteful and all that stuff, that is not in the best interest of your kid. I'm sorry, but you may think that you're like, oh, I'm doing the best for my child and that child should be with me 24/7. No, your child has two parents. And if both parents want to, you know, spend time with that child and raise that child, then you need to make it work.
Now, there's a caveat there, because there are parents who need to be taken away from their children. There are parents who need to not be part of their child's life because 100%. They are a detriment to that child.
100%. And
I'm not going to speak to the example that I know very, very closely to my heart because it's not my story to tell. But I do know for a fact that there are parents out there that do not deserve their children. And that's a hard thing for parents to hear. But if you're really objective about it and think about it, and that doesn't apply to you, then don't be offended. And if it does apply to you, you still shouldn't be offended. You should work on you. Because if your access to your child is being hindered, not by your like vindictive actions of an ex, if access to your child is being hindered by your behavior and your actions, then that's on you, and you need to fix that. So
exactly. I also have a similar story, same thing, not my story to tell, but exact same situation where there is a parent that is just, there was a reason why the access was taken away. And then, you know, it's very slowly starting to build that relationship back and working on themselves. And so it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, it's great if that can happen, but there are times, I totally agree, there are times where they're, the best thing for the child is to have a certain parent not in their life, at least full time. But I totally get that for sure.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate situation when parents don't treat their children the way that their children deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a difference between just being like a new parent and not, you know, we're all going to fuck up. We all do as humans. It's going to happen, but it's, you know, it's, you just need to be self-aware and like what your actions and like, are those actions, you know, really for the best interest of your child? And if so, then great. Then, you know, but those, anyway, that's for each individual family to deal with.
That's, I think, yeah, we're getting into, we're just going to be poking sore spots. We're going to be poking sore spots for a lot of parents out there.
I just hold that glass of alcohol and just hang on for dear life and just do my best.
Listen,
that's how I parent.
my goal in life is to keep moving forward and not spill a drop. That's the goal.
That is such a Maritimer thing of you to say, and I appreciate that about you. Because I think, funny story, it was earlier this year. It feels like this year has been,
oh my God, 2020 has been the longest decade of my life.
It's been a fucking minute. But I did earlier this year, fall, going into work on the ice, I slipped and fell. I was carrying, you know, I did have proper footwear, to be fair. I had my big old winter boots on and stuff, but I was holding my cup of coffee and I had my laptop bag and all that stuff. And I just went straight down. But, you know, the first thing that happened is I would put my arm up so I didn't spill my drink.
Like, yeah, that's such a Maritimer thing to do.
I'm like, I didn't spill my coffee, but now my back really hurts and I have to go to the hospital. Yeah. But
and if you were thinking about it objectively at the time, if it was just coffee, you just would have fell and let it go.
Yeah.
But it's just inherent. You're trained. You're trained in the East Coast. Like, there's alcohol in there. Do not spill it. That's alcohol abuse. You can't.
Exactly.
You can't do that. So it's just an automatic reaction that whatever's in your cup stays in the fucking cup.
Yeah. No matter if you're fucking go ass over tits, that cup just magically somehow stays right side up. I don't know how it happens. It's magical, but it's very much of a Maritimer thing, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely, like, I would say that the Deep South, they probably share the same sort of trait, but they're less likely to slip on ice. That's the thing, is that we're trained for the treacherous conditions of our roads and sidewalks.
Yeah, true. True.
Top tweets, KDG, bring it to us. Hit us with those top tweets.
Okay. That's
one of my favorite segments from when we were doing the show like a year and a half or 2 years ago or however fucking long it's
42
been.
42 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, in 2020 time, yeah. But it's it was this segment is the top tweets. Katie mm-hmm. finds the best parenting related tweets that she can from the internet. And for example, she posts a lot of them on our Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/parenting, you will find that we have a bunch of memes and things. Yeah. And so for instance, yesterday you posted one where it's the kid running across the field and it says, "Daddy, look how fast I can run." And then a meteor hits him and the girl beside the guy's like, "Oh my God, your kid." He's like, "Shh, don't react. Just smile." And the kid gets up and says, "Daddy, a meteor hitted me. Did you see?" He's like, I saw, buddy. Very cool. Right? Because the caption there, obviously, I'm nearly certain that kids are indestructible if you don't acknowledge their pain, which is so fucking true. But things like that, we have to share to the Facebook page, because if we just took the time to read that and describe it and it's picture-based, then, you know, that would be really annoying.
You got to read it. You got to see it. You got to see
it. But top tweets is so fun because it's literally just a quick, usually very poignant quip at parenthood, childhood, whatever. So bring it on, KDG. Hit us with those.
Okay. Well, the first one I have for you is a Thanksgiving-themed one, so I thought that was appropriate. So this one is by @PetrickSarah on Twitter, and it says, "Thanksgiving pro tip. Never eat any food offered to you by an adorable toddler relative. It might look like a cookie or a piece of candy, but it's actually the flu."
Especially right now during a pandemic,
or it's COVID.
yeah, the point. They're little germ factories. Absolutely, that's 100%. Yeah,
they really are. They really are. Okay, so this one's a little bit longer, but I know that you just finished explaining that they're pretty quick. But this one is pretty good. I wanted to share this one. So this one's by @TheNewYorkAMProject. Her name's Ariana Bradford on Twitter. So it's called Toddlers the Musical, including hits like "I Don't Want That, Yes I Do," "No, No, 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 No," "He's Looking at Me, She's Breathing on Me," "Cough in Your Mouth," "Bedtime is the Time for Questions," "Show Times are at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and during your favorite TV show." So look for that coming up.
Okay, and we're going to share all these after we post the episode. We'll share all these on our Facebook page?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. After the episode's live.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, cool. Definitely. And then you got some more?
Last one actually is just relative to what we literally just talked about, you know, 2020 in itself. So this one is one of my favorites, actually. I follow her on Instagram, but I think she also has like a Twitter and everything. But her name's @sarcastic_mommy. She's really hilarious. So her meme or whatever was "Decades that I've been alive in: 1980s, 1990s, 2000s, 2010, early 2020, March to May 2020, June to July 2020, August to September 2020, October 1st, 2020, October 2nd, 2020.
Yeah.
So basically, that makes sense. 2020 in itself is 10 years off of our lives. So that was appropriate to finish with that one. feel that.
Time this year has been dragging and we just can't seem to get the fuck out of it. It's so bad.
Brutal.
It just keeps.
I'm just so ready for it to be over.
Oh my God.
2020, not just, you know.
Yeah. I'm not wishing for death.
No.
Yet.
I will post those once this episode's up. You'll be able to see those for yourself and go like them.
Yeah. So what we'd like to know, if you're listening, is you can send us what you did for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. What are your plans for Halloween? We've got a post.
That's what I'm really interested in. I'd like to know.
We've got a post on our Facebook page right now asking you to share what your plans are for Halloween with your kids. And what do you plan on doing? Do you think our ideas were good ideas? Do you think that they were shitty ideas? Are you one of those people that's going to yell at us because we agree that there should be no trick-or-treating and you think we're...
Know.
Yeah, like, fascists! I don't know. Like, what do you... I don't know what your take is.
What your plans are. Also, you know, one thing I would really love, because maybe... not next week's episode, but the week after that is coming up to Halloween. So I was up to Mom's recently for Thanksgiving and we found some really hilarious Halloween pictures from like when I was a kid. And I'm definitely going to be sharing that week, that picture that I found, because it's absolutely hysterical. But if you have like really funny like Halloween pictures from like you were a kid or your kids, like some sort of, I don't know, Halloween disaster, even if it's a good one, like just a really good costume, but like share those with us, because I'd love to like see those on that. Two weeks from now. So episode 22. So send those over to us, because that would be hilarious.
Yeah, I want all the stories. How your Thanksgiving went is kind of fun. Like we've already said, the Halloween plans, all these things. We want to know, yeah. how are you coping during COVID? Have you come up with any ways that, you know, you're making your kids' lives more interesting than, because right now the kids are sort of locked in the house and like, what are you doing with these kids to keep them occupied?
Let us know.
Yeah, we're real curious, because we skipped the entire actual lockdown, but we're in Manitoba anyway, getting kind of close, unfortunately, to a potential second lockdown. Like, one of the bars just posted on Instagram, they had a picture of their patio, and they said, memories of patio 2020, because everything's shut down.
Yeah.
So.
Fair. That's fair.
We want to know. Hit us up on all our social medias, facebook.com/parenting. We have instagram.com/parentingpodcast. And on Twitter, we are at parentingpod. So we made it nice and hard. We made it real hard. Mm-hmm. They're all different. Twitter, mm-hmm. Twitter, remember, pod. Twitter is small. You want to shorten it up, right? Everybody speaks in like acronyms and shit on Twitter. So parenting pod.
Only so many characters.
Yeah. And then Instagram, people just ramble on. So parenting podcast, we give you the whole fucking thing. And then Facebook, people can't be bothered to even look. So it's just /parenting, like facebook.com/parenting. Super easy.
Just there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good times. Also, if you go to those sites, you can find our YouTube link. The more we need to get over 100 subscribers to unlock a bunch of features that we can use, and then we'll be able to create a lot more really cool video content for you. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go there, that will also be real fun. You can literally just go to YouTube and search parenting, yeah. But spelled poorly is basically how it works. So exactly. And Katie told me yesterday, like, now that since I've been listening to your podcast, because she's been listening since like way back, she goes, I every time I see parenting spelled out, I just think it's wrong.
It's wrong.
But it's it not. Is. It's parenting is wrong. But now she just goes, why is this it's spelled wrong? Like, it just doesn't look right to her. And I'm like,
that's so funny.
Awesome. I love that.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you can find us on the WPG.ca/parenting. That is a thing as well. So, and from there, you can subscribe to all the different podcast platforms. So whichever one is your favorite, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, whatever. Find the link on our newfound podcast network page. So we're on the WPG Podcast Network. So the WPG.ca/parent. All good?
Great.
All right.
Good.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
See you next week, guys.